The pressure has always been making sure all four children feel the same. I mean, first Christmas, I remember counting gifts, y'all.
I can second that.
It's good, good, good.
I'm out on the floor and I'm counting them out.
It's unanimous at the table.
Okay, good. I'm not alone.
And what was that about for you, counting gifts? What was the need in you?
I didn't want anyone to feel step. I didn't want them to even pay attention to that or feel that.
From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal. This podcast brings together timeless wisdom and practical help and hope to blended families and those who love them. Do you like road trips? Well, if you live within driving distance of Houston, I want to invite you and perhaps other couples from your church or community to join us at Houston's First Baptist Church on Saturday, April 25th, 2020, for our next Blended and Blessed live stream event. Yes, it is a live stream. You can be anywhere in the world and watch this on your smartphone or laptop or with a group of friends, but we'd love to have you join the live audience in Houston if you can be there. I'll be there, and one of my heroes, Dr. Gary Chapman, will be there as well. He's one of our keynote speakers. Put the date on your calendar today. It's Saturday, April 25th, 2020. Plan to be a part of this event, Blended and Blessed. You can learn more at blendedandblessed.com. The holidays can be stressful for blended families. Special days have a lot of meaning and tradition, and you can't help but notice who is not there or what tradition is not the same. This is a way of bringing stress and relational uncertainty to the surface in blended families, so we want to help you with that. So take a look, first of all, in the show notes, and there's an article there that you can download called 13 Ideas to Manage Holiday Step Stress. It's very practical. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about the holidays and stress. Now, all this fall, we've been asking our podcast guests to share their life wisdom with you as it relates to the holidays. And then I gathered a few friends from a variety of blended family situations to react to the collective wisdom of our guests and share their thoughts and insights. My guests, my little panel today, includes Jeff and Kim Robertson. They've been married for 13 years and share 6 children, 2 sons-in-law, a daughter-in-law, 6 grandchildren, 5 dogs, a cat, and 2 fish. Jeff is an RN administrator of nearly 30 years, and Kim has been an educator for 24 years. She's currently pursuing a degree in marriage and family therapy through John Brown University. Jeff and Kim are mentors at their church to blended family couples. Shannon Simmons is a stepdaughter, a stepmom, and mom to 5 children. She serves on my team, Family Life Blended, here at Family Life as administrator project coordinator, and we love her. She has been married to Roosevelt for 19 years, and she says that she's still learning how to navigate through their stepfamily forest with 5 children ranging in age from 12 to 20. Candace Callclew is wife to Harold, mom to Cassidy, Hudson, and Haven, and bonus mom to Calvin. She is the email marketing specialist for Family Life and an avid leader in the women's ministry of her church. To start our conversation, I asked my panel of blended family members what their first thought is when they think about their stepfamily holiday experiences. Hey guys, thanks for being with me today.
It's a pleasure.
Hey. Great to be here. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
I'm glad to have you. We've got a chorus in the studio with me today. We're just going to be talking and reacting to things related to blended families and the holidays. Let me just start by asking all of you, when you think about your blended family holiday experiences, what's the first thought that comes to mind?
Mine would be calendar. I can just visually see how we're planned out this season with our visitation.
Mm. Calendar. Is it a detailed calendar? Is it just a few things on there or what?
All my calendars are detailed, and yes, there are more than one.
And I agree.
Same thing for you guys?
Plan early. Mm. Yeah. Don't wait until December for Christmas, and don't wait till November for Thanksgiving.
What happens if you don't plan?
Confusion, I think. Mm-hmm. I think for the kids, our kids, they wanted to know what was coming. They knew when they were going to be at our house. They knew when they were going to be at their other biological parents' house. But they didn't really know, what did that mean when I'm out of school? What did that mean when we have holidays coming?
Mm-hmm.
And for them, I think it relieves some of their anxiety.
Yeah.
for me, it would, since we're double blended or his, mine, and ours, if we're not planned, we can miss being together as a whole. Mm. One child may be gone, the other one may be here. So we have to be strategic in that area.
Yeah. That's good.
Well, even with things you plan out, I think flexibility is important because things change on the fly. And if you're so rigid in a set thing, you can easily get offended, and that can spill over to the kids. You know, there are things that are unpredictable, like families coming in that you don't plan on. And if you can be flexible and allow those kids to see family maybe they haven't seen in a while, even if it's taken up your time, I think the kids benefit from that, and they see how well you work together.
Jeff, I think you're exactly right. I've often thought that I give couples and blended families whiplash when I say plan, and be flexible. Like, it's like, wait, aren't those two polar opposite things? Right, that's the point. And it's just so many things you don't control. The other household may change their schedule. That's going to change your schedule. You just don't get to dominate everything in your world. So planning is about trying to get out in front. By the way, planning also includes contacting the other home and trying to get on their schedule early on.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking communication is so important because you might have all these plans and it's all in your head, but if you haven't communicated with the other home, they may have plans that conflict with that, and then you wait till last minute. It goes back to the communication well ahead of time.
Yep.
Yep.
Good thoughts. Anybody else? Anything else?
Disjointed. Depending on the nature of the relationship with the children that don't live in your home, could be disjointed because you may just want to give space for the biological parent to spend time with that biological child that may not want to connect with the rest of the family. And that can be a little hard to watch as a bio parent wants to connect with a child that doesn't live in the home. And yet that child is either putting up barriers emotionally where they may not want to connect on those special moments. But for us, some holidays and special days have been disjointed because we've just had to make space for if this person wants to spend time.
Okay, guys, as you know, we've been asking our guests on our podcast recently to share their thoughts, insights, and experiences related to blended families and the holidays. So we're going to be listening to a series of those clips and then just reacting to them. Our first one comes from Willie and Rachel Scott. I interviewed them in episode 15, Navigating Your Custody Battle.
So one of the things that we've learned about navigating step family holidays is being flexible. In the morning time, for example, one of the things that we do is rather than having Christmas dinner, we have Christmas brunch. And that allows everyone to come over for brunch. It doesn't impede on the evening activities. So after brunch is over, everyone can kind of go their own separate ways. Right. And we don't feel that we were necessarily slighted. That's the word. We don't feel slighted on the holidays. They don't feel slighted. They have more things to anticipate, and they get to be with their family during that time, all of their family that day.
Yeah, and you expect to be able to get up in the morning and open presents with your children and not them be off somewhere else. So that's a perfect setup for us. And then it also allows us, because we all pitch in with the breakfast, like doing the brunch, cooking. So we interact and we clean and we do all that stuff together. So.
And then for those that don't necessarily get to do the wake up in the morning holiday thing for something like Christmas, they can always kind of shift that a little bit and then maybe do dinner that day or do something later in the evening, having maybe a nighttime routine that they do for the holidays just to create tradition. Because really that's what it's about, is just establishing and creating that tradition. Your own tradition that the children can continue to do as they get older.
Okay, so that was Rachel and her husband, Willie Scott. They, too, like the flexibility idea that Jeff mentioned a little while ago. What did you guys pick up? What did you perceive in what they were saying?
I felt that could have been a conversation between my husband and I. We are the exact same. But when it comes to calendar, for our custody, we either have my stepson that morning up until 3 p.m. or we get him at 3 p.m. So we either going to do brunch, and we do a Christmas brunch with both sides of our families. Everyone gets together. We cook. We open presents together. Or we wait until later that evening, everybody does, and we all get together for dinner, and we open up presents, and we do our Christmas at that time.
I think our heart's desire is to have all of our kids and you know, all under the one household to have that time together, but that's not always realistic. Especially, it sounds like maybe their kids are older, and as our kids are older, your expectations are we want to see them, but sometimes just having come as you can, you know, come in. We're there. That's kind of the way my parents do. My mother is they open their home up because they also have six children blended, and they say, we're here. Come see us when you can. We know you have other obligations. You have other family, other grandparents. And so it really takes the pressure off us and the other kids. We come in and we stay and visit and we leave, and other kids do the same. And sometimes we're all there at the same time, and sometimes we're not, but it works.
So, Jeff, your comment and Candace's comment tells me you guys have already come to some measure of acceptance about you can't have it when you want it. But what if somebody's listening to us right now and they're like, oh, wait a minute, you don't understand, Ron. We always do brunch in my family. It is always the same time. It's the same food. And if we change the time of day, it changes the menu, and that's not tradition. And they're really wrestling with that.
Ron, I tell you, when I was hearing Jeff talk about that, it made me think about the years that we've experienced. And we've been married 13 years, and we do have six children between us. They're all grown. The last one's left the house for college this year. And I remember back about probably 12 years ago that we didn't have even one of our children in the house. And prior to our marriage, in my previous nuclear marriage, we had all of the family there all the time, big gatherings. We had people there that didn't have other families, and so I was the host. I was used to that. That was my happy place during the holidays. So to change to a new pattern of expectation was a really hard thing for me. So I can really relate to that. And the one holiday where we did not have anybody, we went to a soup kitchen and helped serve food. It was just the two of us. And we ordered food from somewhere. We didn't even cook. So it was a whole new world. And we did have to learn to grow with the changes that came.
Yeah, it's a learning process for sure. My kids are very young. And I am what people call me extra. So I want to do the Christmas Eve boxes. I want the pajamas. I want the Polar Express. I want all of that. But I have learned that sometimes it's not that way. The sooner I accept that as a parent, the easier it is on my children that, hey, we did Christmas Eve box last year. This time we're doing Christmas night boxes with the same type of activities, same type of things. I get my feels, they get their feels, and nobody's feelings are hurt.
Now, there's a dose of wisdom right there. The sooner I accept this as the parent, the sooner my kids are going to adjust to this. Doesn't mean the kids won't have adjustments and reactions, and yeah, they'll still do that, but you lead the way. That's really good. Yeah. Let's listen to another clip.
Well, the first few Christmases as a stepmom, I couldn't deal with the tension, the expectations. I would get angry when my stepsons weren't happy with their gifts or they didn't think they got enough from their father. That was very frustrating. My early stepfamily Christmases, I had too great of an expectation, too much of a Norman Rockwell view in my head of what Christmas was going to be. As we progressed as a stepfamily, I learned to lower my expectations. I learned to keep focus on what was important. I learned what my stepsons loved about Christmas and what they didn't love about Christmas. I learned as a stepfamily unit that not to make the priority making sure you had the kids on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. If that caused too much stress for them, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth making Christmas morning something to fight over. If all the kids were going to do was feel disjointed and unhappy and miserable because they were tired. I learned in a stepfamily that Christmas is often what you make it. And if you set the expectations for the kids to be thrilled about everything, you may end up disappointed. I learned in a stepfamily that you often are not going to be able to take the stepkids to church like you thought you would. I learned that my example of Christ was doing more to help them see Christmas for what it should be than preaching to them about what Christmas should be.
So that was author Laura Petherbridge from episode 15, our episode on the childless stepmom. What are your reactions to some of her thoughts?
I liked how she learned to lower her expectations of what Christmas should be. The tradition in our home is that this is the day to celebrate the birth of Jesus, so it's not about you. In fact, we don't go overboard with all of the gifts. So if Jesus only received 3 gifts, you're not getting any more.
And it's not going to be gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But.
Right, right. So you get no more than Jesus. So we try to go overboard for birthdays, you know, but for his birth, it's not about you. Mm. And if we teach them that day is not about you, then when you don't get your way, you're not bent out of shape. Because guess what? It's not about you.
Yeah.
I need to get there. I need to.
Girl.
Bless your heart. I need to get there because the pressure has always been, and this pressure comes from Candace, myself. I do it. So I apply pressure on myself and my husband, our parents, on making sure all 4 children feel the same, across the line. Where, I mean, first Christmas, I remember counting gifts, y'all.
I can second that.
It's good.
I lay them out on the floor and I'm counting them out.
It's unanimous at the table.
Okay, good. I'm not alone.
And what was that about for you, counting gifts? What was the need in you?
I didn't want anyone to feel step. Right. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want them to feel any indifference. This is my new family. These are my new grandparents. This is my new mom. This is my new dad or stepmom, my new stepdad. I didn't want them to feel like, I didn't want them to even pay attention to that or feel that. And that was pressure that I put on myself. Because if you notice, kids will open one gift and they're like done for a while.
Yeah.
You're kind of shoving more towards them, but they're not even paying attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, I was thinking, and hopefully this is I don't think it really was in our home, but, you know, holidays are not a competition, but let's say the other home, you know, they go big or go home.
They almost make it a competition?
Yes, and the kids come over after they've already been there, and, you know, you're more responsible and maybe a little bit, you want to teach more of the value of what Christmas is about, like Laura's talking about. And, you know, they're talking about how they got, you know, they made the big haul. And I think sometimes you can feel empty. Like you did measure up to what they're getting over there, and that's not a good thought to have. You need to come up with and be satisfied and content with what you're doing in your home and be happy with that, because they will sense that. And if you teach them the right thing about Christmas and what it really is, there's no value to that. It's a lot more than anything they would get gift-wise.
Yeah.
But I think, as Candace is talking of, that pressure— because you don't want a child to think, oh, you know, he's only gotten – we've had – you know, our kids have counted presents. He got 10 over there,
right,
and we only got 4.
Right.
They don't know that 4 cost us much more than those 10.
Yes.
Right.
And so I think we really lose focus on what it's all about. It's easy to do. And so, no, it's not a competition.
I think this is so catchy, because controlling the environment is really about, as Candace well said, controlling the heart of a child. You want them to feel welcomed and apart and nobody step, but everybody belongs. And so you try to control the climate and the environment such that they will feel that. Well, when there's other homes and other parents and other players in the game, you don't get to control all those things. And so you can drive yourself a little bit crazy if you think that all the externals are going to dictate the internal of the child. You know, keeping the reason for the season at the forefront, you know, staying focused on that. You heard Laura say it, focus on what's important, lower your expectations about some other things, and being that example of Christ to them. You can be loving. Like, it doesn't take any gift for you to show a child they're valuable. And if ultimately that's what you're trying to show them, you can show them just by your time and your energy and your excitement. And yes, they may have questions. I got a stepbrother who got 5 gifts and I got 2. Well, they went to another home, but you didn't. And, you know, that's the way it works. And we understand that he has another home. By the way, I've heard that so many times through the years. Kids going, I want another home so I can get more.
That was me growing up. I remember telling my parents, my older brother came home with like this video console and these shoes and all this stuff when I'm younger. And I tell my mom, I say, I want a stepdad. She's like, it's not how it works, darling.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you do as a parent in that moment?
Hey, you explain the truth of the reality. Mm. Mm-hmm. The reality is that other home isn't paying child support. How about that? Mm. But no, you just explain the truth, the reality of what's going on. Mm-hmm. At least for me, it's another opportunity for me to redirect them to Christ. Mm. Remember, it's not about you.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. And I do think the question embedded in that comment, hey, they got five and only got two, is am I as valuable? Mm. And you can always speak to that.
Right.
You know, Ron, I think for me, it wasn't so much about given the value of the gifts, but my son's dad did not stay in his life during those growing years. Mm-hmm. And he did watch his step siblings go back and forth. And it wasn't about the number of gifts or the quality of the gifts, but it was about were they more valued because they had all of these individuals giving them time. Mm. And so I was burdened in my heart about him. He was just in our home. He didn't have another home to go to, and I felt that burden for him.
Mm-hmm. And you do the best you can, and you explain, and you show them their value, and then I think you keep moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next clip. It's Brian and Diane Frome. I interviewed them in podcast 17 called Grief and the Blended Family.
Well, what I've learned about navigating the holidays is to include the entire family. And I think some of the biggest holidays, Christmas, for example, it's a family holiday, right? It's not just your immediate family. It spreads across to grandparents and uncles and aunts. And so it takes energy for the natural parent and the step parent to realize that and to bring them in some form. So that's one piece that I grew into and learned over the years.
What I learned about navigating the holidays over the years is that you have to be very clever about blending traditions. You need to observe what's important and ask what's important. We had two females in the family that both wanted the choice of which live tree we bring home from the mountains or the lot. And that was a very powerful conflict. It was two people desperately wanting control. Two people who had lost control in their lives. So now the tree becomes the symbol of all that control. And eventually we got to the point where we'd split the family into teams, and one team would go out and pick three trees, and the second team would come pick the final of those three trees. So everybody won.
That was smart.
What was smart about it?
Everyone feels like they have a choice and a say. Mm. And I like what Brian said. He talked about including everyone. But I think sometimes in a step family, particularly if your children are a little older, because you can include because you're the adult in the situation and you may have custody agreements. And so you can include all of the children when they're younger at certain points. But as they grow and get over that threshold, that age, you can only invite. Mm. You may want to include them, but some hearts are still hardened. Some are still believing one side of the story, and you can only invite. Mm. And it's hard when they may not accept that invitation.
And that could be true for extended family, like Brian was saying. You welcome everybody, I think is really what he was saying. Welcome everybody. Even if to you they're not family, they are part of the expanded step family system. Mm-hmm. Invite them in. But again, everybody will make their own choice in their own time. And that's hard when your dream and heart is for togetherness among all. You do have to kind of grieve that in the moment, I think. Yes?
Yes. My oldest stepdaughter, his oldest child, she didn't engage in a lot of the activities we had because all of the children were younger than her. She would go to the movies with us, or she might go out and look at Christmas lights, but it would be short-lived. And today, the relationship looks different. It's a good relationship. Hmm. It's just different than it is with the other children, and that's okay because that's her comfort zone, and she still engages with us. That's what's most important.
That was a good word, different. Like, we as blended families have to learn that there is no really right or wrong way to do the holidays. It's really your way. What works for your family, what works for that child relationship, what works just for you guys. So I like that word, just different.
Let's listen to another clip.
Our first Christmas was a disaster because we had never discussed our expectations or really how our customs might fit together. And as a result of those unspoken expectations, we were both assuming things would happen the way we'd hoped for, and it didn't. And it created some really hurt feelings. So I think it's really important to talk about how you celebrate Thanksgiving, how your family celebrates Christmas. What are meaningful things for you? What do you like to do? What do your kids like to do? And have a conversation, because you want to honor each family that's coming together. But you also want to develop some new traditions together. And so as you develop more of those traditions together with holidays, that will be helpful in actually blending your family and making things memorable for everyone.
That was Judy Parziel. She and her husband, Jeff, were our guests on episode 20, talking about couples who are about to blend. I heard different parts there, guys, react to this. I heard her say it was a disaster. So we learned we had to talk, we had to try to plan, we had to honor traditions, and we had to find new ones.
Keyword, expectations. That conversation is very important. Blended family, period, but especially around the holidays, and it's not the time to be, oh, I'm fine with whatever you decide, because then you find out, oh, I'm not fine with everything that you decided, and then it can be a disastrous holiday. So, yeah, I think the expectations and that discussion and pretty much laying out, this is something that we've done that I really can't let go. This is something that I've done that we really can't let go. And do we decide not which one is more important, but which one do we want to make like our new tradition, and how can we change that or what works for our household?
Sometimes when we put together something and or say have a conference, what do we do afterwards? We sit and evaluate what worked and what didn't. You know, it may be a good idea that you have a team family meeting and we talk, including the kids and all, and ask, you know, what worked with this holiday? What did you like about it? What could we have done differently? Get their input instead of coming up or assuming what didn't work, but get everybody's input so next year you can plan differently and maybe do something different.
A holiday travelogue?
How does that work?
What? I think it's just what Jeff said. Sit around the table and talk about what did Christmas or what did Thanksgiving, birthdays, what did that look like for you before we came together? What did that look like for the parents in the home when they were growing up? And then talk about what do we want now? What is important do you want to bring into this new family that you had in your previous family? And what things do we want to merge together and create as our own new tradition?
Travelogue is one of our most successful things. And it really wasn't about the holidays. It was just learning about each other. We sat around the table and did it. And at first our kids were like, hey, what's this? But when we did it, man, you're talking about opening up and finding out things about that they didn't know about us. It's pretty cool.
That's good.
It is good.
I don't think couples in blended families realize that this is a point of contention for couples in a first marriage. So my husband and I are a first marriage blended family. And so because we are both from Central Arkansas and our families are still here, we don't necessarily have to fight about, okay, where are we going to go for the holidays? Are we going to go to your mom's? We can kind of do both. That's the beauty of living, you know, so close to family. But we also didn't have those really good conversations about, hey, did you talk to his mom? Hey, did you talk to her mom? And as the stepmom and the potential smart stepmom I'm trying to be, I always try to initiate those conversations. But you have to realize that you married someone who may be a planner, who may not be a planner. And guess who's the planner? And guess who's not the planner in my situation?
Right. Yeah.
So a lot of times conversations didn't get done like I wanted. And that's where the stepping back and allowing whatever chaos to transpire so that this hard lesson could be learned by my
loving husband.
You know, Shannon, I think that's a really good point. We really need to look at the marital relationship when this issue comes to the forefront, not just in the parenting side, because when Jeff and I got married, I didn't realize he had a romantic idea. Every year he would go out at midnight, correct me if I'm wrong, midnight and the night before, and buy stocking stuffers. Mm. That was his thing for the family. Well, I'm the planner. So what did I do? I had them all bought before Christmas Eve hit. So I stole one of his romantic plans. And, you know, I don't know if he grieved that, but I grieved that for him when I found out that I had stole his thunder.
That's when the best deals are. Christmas Eve.
That is true. That is true. I really, even going back to the comment that I just made about how we had the discussion and thinking about your travelogue that will be implemented in our household. But that discussion that we had was about us. It wasn't about our children. I didn't even think of that until right now. And now that I'm thinking, when you were speaking, I'm like, is it too late? And no, I think that's something that you can continue to do every holiday, every birthday. So yes, that will be happening in the Colclue household.
And you can read about the travelogue in my book, The Smart Step Family. By the way, the bigger narrative there is that as a family, as you continue to dialogue about the past and the present and what worked and what didn't work and how we're going to move forward, you are taking further steps in defining how you're going to be family with one another. And this is part of the process of becoming family. So the travelogue is not just about information. It's about that bigger story of us figuring out us.
Yeah, so for me, holidays and step families are when cultures collide. You have two likely distinct cultures and traditions coming together for moments that are really deeply rooted and nostalgic. And those two cultures and traditions are vying for equal time. And for the kids, if they're like me, they don't really have the emotional maturity to know when to minimize their own upbringing, to celebrate a step-sibling's upbringing, or when to kind of own their own traditions so that they can feel valued and understood. I really struggled with adopting everything from like the food being served to how we spent our time, the songs we sang, the church service we went to. All of it was different or didn't go to, depending on whose year it was. Frankly, entering adulthood, I was excited to embrace a singular tradition like my own. You know, my family, we're going to create our own cultures and traditions, and it's all going to be about this. And all that went away whenever I got married, obviously, because now I'm bringing in all of those traditions and whatever was nostalgic to my wife. So I've had to like really become flexible. And if anything, I think being in a step family has helped me be more flexible and adaptable to different people's upbringings.
That was Ryan Gené from a podcast episode that will be coming in 2020. Ryan was referencing his childhood growing up and all the things he had to change and adapt as the family. And notice, from a kid's point of view, he said the cultures collided at the holidays. I think it's really good that we jump in the kids' shoes for a minute. What are your thoughts or reactions to that?
I can definitely relate to that. I didn't just marry into a blended family. I came from a blended family. And I can remember going to my father's side of the family. And I shared this with my stepmom maybe 2 or 3 years ago. This was her first time hearing it. But I always told her I never felt apart. I always felt like I didn't belong. And that side of my family didn't know that. They did not know that, but I always felt like the illegitimate child. Hmm. I always felt like I didn't belong. There was nothing different about the cultures. It was the same types of food and that sort of thing. But even as a step-parent, I realized that I can't protect my stepchildren from the blendedness of our family. Mm-hmm. There is difference. Of course, we want to love the same and we want to treat them the same, but I can't protect them from that feeling. Because I had the feeling, and I know people around me didn't even realize there was a difference. Hmm.
That is a hard truth.
Yes.
But I think it's an honest truth. And so if we can't protect them from feeling that, is there a way to comfort them within it?
I think so. For me, I always try to put myself in their shoes because I was in their shoes. We're all different, of course, so how I will respond to a situation that I see my stepchildren in. They may not respond that way. But because I've been in their shoes, I always try to anticipate the possible emotions. Hmm. So if my husband says A, and I know our children together would know what that means, I would circle back and say, hey, you may want to have a conversation with him. He may not really know what you're meaning behind that. You may need to talk about that a little further.
That's kind of insider language.
Yes.
And we need to bring him in
yes,
to what that means. So he didn't feel separate and apart.
Right.
Yeah. Good. Any other thoughts about comforting kids within the collision of cultures?
Well, I was thinking about Thanksgiving a couple years ago. We have one child left in the house at that time. She was going to be at several houses for Thanksgiving. What does that mean? Turkey, ham. So we got creative and made her favorite meal. We made egg rolls and fried rice.
Hmm.
So that was our Thanksgiving meal at our house that year to give her comfort because the rest of the family wasn't there.
And she commented and said it was one of the best meals she had ever had for Thanksgiving.
Good.
Wow.
So we created a memory.
Mm-hmm.
We took pictures.
Yeah. And you put her and her need in the center. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of gathered around that. And from time to time, you can do that. You can't do it all the time. But when you can, it's helpful.
It's, you know, when you have a child that's one household that is religious, and then you have another household that is not, it can be very challenging going back and forth because, you know, like in our home, church and all that's going to be very important around the holidays. And in the other home, it's there's not an emphasis on that. I also came from a blended upbringing and where my mother and all, it was all about church. And then when I went to my father's, there was none of that. And so it can be confusing for a child because they're like, well, how come you don't go? And how come you don't have that same belief system? Or how come it's not important to you? And it's, like I said, it's an opportunity to teach your children and say, hope one day they do.
Pray for them.
Pray for them, but not hold it against them.
Yeah. One thing that I hear is confusion. And when you say, let's get in their shoes, I'm like, no. Because that is where a lot of my pressure comes from as a mom, as a stepmom, is the heart of those children. And if that's where my pressure comes from and that's what I'm thinking, the best thing that I can do is communicate with them and kind of explain to them how things are, why things are this way, how we can help these ways, explain to us how we can help you. Because one thing that we've learned by trial and error is that our children were very young when we got married, but we underestimated how much they were feeling and understanding as young children in a blended family.
Mm.
And so we have to continue to have those conversations of, this is how our family is, and not undermine this. You're a blended family. No, mm-hmm. This is your special family. And we even explained to the other kids, you just have more parents loving you. We try not to separate that from our nuclear children. There's two of them. But we do want those older kids to understand that you have a bigger support system. You have a lot more people who are loving you and being there for you, but we're raising you differently. And sometimes that's hard for you,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we try to help them hone in who God has made them and the positive things that we know don't need to change from household to household. And we communicate that with the other bio parents as well.
And Candace, do you see times where they come back and they shift from that other home, okay? And then other times where, who is this kid? What happened?
Mm.
You know, and maybe nothing happened. It's just having to do that transition time, and especially at the holidays when they're not going to school and in a regular routine. I had to step out of my shoes and into my stepdaughter's shoes when she was young because we had a very close relationship. Then there would be times where she'd be so distant and nothing happened. I didn't understand why until I started stepping in her shoes and seeing what it was that she was dealing with going back and forth.
The stepping in that shoes just recently started to happen for me probably within a month. And being here helps me because I go and talk to Shannon. I'm like, these are my feelings. This is why I'm feeling this way. What do you have to say? And she's like, read this chapter. And so that does help me a lot because that is where I'm struggling in right now, Kim, is getting into those shoes and understanding why the feelings change or that transformation is happening.
And I noticed that I was focused on my feelings mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how frustrated I was and confused I was about it when I thought, well, how confused must she be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to give grace space.
That's good. Grace space. That's good. Grace space. I like that.
You've been listening to my conversation with Jeff and Kim Robertson, Shannon Simmons, and Candace Colclough. I'm Ron Deal, and this is Family Life Blended. You'll hear us discuss one more clip in a minute, but before that, I'm just wondering if a friend sent you this podcast, or maybe you saw it on social media. Well, if they did, you can subscribe for free and not miss any of our podcasts. Just go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts and search Family Life Blended with Ron Deal. You know, after we turned off the mics, Jeff Robertson made one more comment. He said, you know, one big lesson that he learned about managing the holidays in his blended family was to be content with what you get. Now, that sounds good on the surface, but man, is contentment tough. Finding contentment is always difficult, I think, but to be okay with what you're able to orchestrate for your family is important because your attitude sends messages to your kids. I mean, discontent, for example, puts pressure on people, and all of a sudden, it's not the holidays. It's take care of dad or mom day. That's not a holiday. It's work. Now, I didn't say, I want to be clear, I did not say that this means you're going to be happy with everything going on in your family and all of your circumstances. I just said find a way to be okay with them. Focus on what's going well for your family so you can enjoy that. You can keep working on what you don't have over time. Yes, absolutely. Keep hoping and keep working on that. But for now, you're in the middle of a holiday. Try to relax into it. It kind of helps others do the same. If you'd like more information about our guests, you can find it in the show notes, or you can check it out online at the Family Life Blended podcast page. That's at familylife.com/podcasts. We want you to know your feedback means a lot to us. It means a lot to me personally. One person wrote to us recently and said, this podcast has been a major blessing. As a stepmom to three kids under the age of 10, wow, that's a lot, trying to navigate something I never imagined I'd be a part of, this resource is invaluable and gives me hope. Well, we're glad to hear that. Sharing help and hope is what we're all about here at Family Life. We'd love to hear from you. If you don't mind, take a minute and give us a rating or a review right now. You can do that. It encourages us. But more importantly, it helps others find the podcast. More positive reviews means better placement on Apple Podcasts. You can make a difference for someone just by sharing a positive review. And remember to look in the show notes for links to additional resources like the article 13 Ideas to Manage Holiday Step Stress. You can also learn about other podcasts on the Family Life Podcast Network. Family Life Blended, if you're not familiar with us, we're the leading resource ministry for stepfamilies around the world. Please visit us online at familylife.com/blended. We have all kinds of free content for you, as well as books and video resources, and you can search our map and find ministries and conference events in your area. Speaking of your area, I told you earlier about the Blended and Blessed live stream event, April 25th, 2020. I know it's coming to your area because it's a live stream. If you have an internet connection, you can be a part of this one-of-a-kind event designed just for blended family couples. Our theme is Now You're Speaking My Language. Dr. Gary Chapman will be speaking with me and others. We'll be expanding on some of the themes of Dr. Chapman's and my new book called Building Love Together in Blended Families that comes out in February of 2020. Learn all about this at blendedandblessed.com. Now, before we're done, here's one more clip. It's a thought from David Bowden. He's a guest on a podcast episode coming in 2020.
Yeah, holidays in a step family for me have been about control, but like hopefully gracious control where we, from an early time, and I'm talking about after I was married. So after I was married, I realized that I wanted to set a precedent. My wife and I wanted to set a precedent for what we wanted our holidays to look like. And then we just stuck to our guns. And so we would spend Christmas with everybody, but in their own slots. and we wouldn't allow those slots to blend over into other slots. So we're like, we're here with my dad and my stepmom on Christmas Eve morning, and we do that all day pretty much. But then Christmas morning is me and my family and just me and my wife, and now we have a son, we're bringing him into that. And then so we basically just scheduled around all our different family groups, because having a step family is kind of also like having in-laws in a sense when it comes to holidays. And so you kind of have to adapt regardless. So the thing that's been most healthy for us when it comes to the holidays and step family have been setting a precedent that is healthy for you and your nuclear family. And we've just noticed that all the different family groups that we have to get to in holidays, they just get used to it. And so set a precedent and stick to it.
Now, let me give you guys a little context, and then you can react to what he said. David grew up in a blended family complex, had really hard feelings about what was happening in his world and in his life. Part of what he's saying there is an outgrowth of his childhood. Like, there was chaos, there was, I'm not doing that, so we're going to take this approach. By the way, that cuts two ways. I think we all do learn hard lessons from our childhood, no matter what that story is. And we learn what we don't want to repeat when we get married and have our own families. Sometimes, though, we do the polar opposite, even if it's unhealthy. You know, it may have been unhealthy their way, and it's unhealthy your way. Like, two extremes are not balanced either way. So it's good to reflect on what is leading us to make the decisions we're making. It's good to be aware. It's also good to say, is this balanced? So for him, what he wanted to do is he wanted to have slots, compartmentalize those relationships. And part of that's his story. Biological parents couldn't be in the same room together at that season of his life. That changed eventually. You have to listen to the episode to understand why. But at that point, when he started his family, that he needed the two parents to never meet, right? So slots was functional. It worked. Now, with all of that, what are your thoughts based upon what you heard David say?
We have spent a couple of our holidays what I call on tour. And it is so overwhelming. And probably 2 years ago, our oldest two told us, we have not even got to play with our toys. And I thought back, well, yeah, you did. You were at your grandma's house and you played. Well, yeah, that was only for like an hour. But what about when you were at just another hour. And I was like, the kids are in the car the whole day.
We've been on tour.
We are just stopping by. Wow. Giving our smiling faces, spending time, eating the food, just enjoying the time, but we're not being able to spend time just as our family. So that has not worked for us. I will say hashtag fail for sure. And we are doing our thing.
You're learning what your thing is and,
yes,
and how to orchestrate
correct
it. Correct. That's the takeaway.
That's and making sure, and then the pressure that Candace puts on herself is that nobody feels left out. Mm. The parents, because Shannon, you said earlier, all your family is here, and so that makes it easier on you guys. I feel like that makes it more overwhelming for us because we can touch everybody, then we feel like we need to touch everybody. And so we're still under construction.
I was thinking that same thing. As we were testing the waters to figure out what do the holidays look like for us, I tried to reinvent that big gathering I was used to doing. And I brought in all of these family members together. And we realized after time in together, they were all kind of segregating to their own little worlds inside that one roof. And so that was the last time we did that. The next year, to avoid even having discussions about that, we packed all the kids up and we went to Branson. And we spent time at Silver Dollar City and shopped and just enjoyed our own nuclear family, you know, in our own roof.
I'd like to bring another little aspect. We're also grandparents. And so we have grandkids. And so if we're not careful, we can put pressure on our kids at the holidays. Well, why are you going to that parent? What about us? We want to see our grandkids. And so that puts undue pressure on them to try to do the tour. And so we encourage our kids, you do your family how you want to do your family. Mm. And when we get to see our kids and be a part, we're going to be okay with whatever that is. We just want to see you. Mm. But we can, out of selfishness and missing grandkids, can say, no, you need to come see us. You know, why are you making the trip down there?
Grandparents can be selfish, really?
Yes.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I think the flexibility has to continue on. You know, just because our kids are no longer in our house doesn't mean that that flexibility ends. Now you do have that next season of life that you become grandparents and you have to continue that flexibility. So our kids are around the country. We buy a plane ticket and it may not be on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. It may be a week later. But we still try to spend time together just at their best schedule.
And let me just add, for those of you listening, feel free to share this podcast with that grandparent in your life. And that grandparent just heard me say that I gave them permission to give it to you. And so you heard it and take that to heart. That's one of the ways you can really be a blessing to your adult kids' blended family. You know, your feedback means a lot to us. A few months ago, someone with the username Second Rodeo said, "This podcast was just what I needed. I don't know why the episode stopped. Very sad." Well, I'm a little glad that you feel that way, and I'm a little sorry that you feel that way. And guess what? They're going to stop again. This is the last podcast for the fall of 2019. We take a little break from time to time, but we'll be back. We've already started working on our podcast for 2020, so don't worry. Stay tuned. We'll have more. I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for listening. And thanks to our Family Life Legacy partners for making this podcast possible. Our chief audio engineer is Keith Lynch. Bruce Goff, our producer. Our mastering engineer is Justin Adams. And theme music provided by Braden Deal. Family Life Blended is produced by Family Life. It's part of the Family Life Podcast Network.